You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The Sacramento Regional Family Justice Center, or FJC for short, serves people through violence and trauma with the goal of providing a safe one-stop place towards justice, wrapped with comfort and support. The nonprofit started 7 years ago, and in that time has grown to meet a wide range of difficult needs, from human trafficking to elder abuse, sexual assault, and child abuse. So we're going to spend some time learning more about this crucial resource and how it's growing to meet the needs of today. Faith Whitmore is the CEO of the Sacramento Regional Family Justice Center, and we're also joined by former Sacramento County District Attorney Jan Scully, who was instrumental in the creation of this nonprofit. Good morning to you both.
Thank you, Vicky, for having us.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, Faith, I want to start with you. Can you share a little bit of your backstory and what led you to FJC?
Thank you. I've been a member of this Sacramento region for a number of years, since 1987. I'm a retired United Methodist pastor. I worked as the district director for Congressman Ami Bera after my retirement from the ministry. And then I came to the FJC when it just was beginning.
And that was about 7 years ago.
7 years ago.
How do you describe the Sacramento Regional Family Justice Center to someone who's never heard of it before?
We are a one-stop center for victims of domestic violence, elder abuse, human trafficking, sexual assault, and child abuse. And what we do is bring people in to a one-stop center where they can access all the resources they need to move from a place of danger and trauma to one of safety and hope. And we do that by collaborating and partnering with many different agencies and nonprofits, public and private, in the Sacramento region. So we don't do it alone, but we do it together, and it works.
What attracted you to this nonprofit, especially from the beginning, to help build it up and help it grow?
I myself am a victim of domestic violence, which many people don't know, but that has been part of my journey. And so I was attracted to this because I saw in its formation how much it could help. And victims of domestic violence, survivors of domestic violence, I like to say too, never leave that experience all the way behind. It carries with us, and it can turn into something positive and hopeful, my experience. And so I just wanted to be there to help usher others through that journey. Also, elder abuse was something that, you know, was just so difficult to imagine. And I know it happens. 19% of the people that we serve now are victims of elder abuse. So that had my heart as well.
Yeah, that's roughly a fifth of the people that you
serve.
Correct. And a lot of these, you know, these crimes and this trauma happens behind closed doors. And you have a very personal lived experience with that to help people, guide them through and get them to the other side so that they have a supportive experience. Help us visualize the people that you serve.
Oh my gosh, they run the spectrum. We've had clients as young as 12 years old in terms of those who are coming in seeking restraining order petitions, all the way up to 96 years old. They come from every walk of life, from every economic category, if you will. We provide translation services for victims. So we've had from all different cultures. And so there is no one particular person that we can describe. Runs the spectrum.
Jan, you were the Sacramento County District Attorney for almost 20 years, I believe from 1995 to 2014. When did you start envisioning a place like this?
Really, it was in my last couple of years and in office that I actually became aware of family justice centers. As a prosecutor, I have experience in all of the areas that the Family Justice Center serves. And so I've always been passionate about the victims of these crimes. And as a prosecutor, I would see victims, for example, of domestic violence come in, and sometimes time and time again, the same one would come in. And we supported them and offered services while they were in the prosecution phase to assist them through that process. But that was just one aspect of what they had to deal with. And when they moved on, or when we moved on to another case, they moved on without any support. And so family justice centers was a fabulous model. It was bringing together all the various services that victims of family violence really need to really survive, to move forward. And we had in Sacramento County, we had a lot of great relationships with both community-based, private, and public programs. And so when I learned about the Family Justice Center, it just felt like it would fit perfectly in Sacramento. So I wasn't really my vision in the context of that we created the Family Justice Center, but it was my vision that I wanted to do as much as I could to bring the Family Justice Center model to the Sacramento region.
Yeah. Faith, how did you and Jan cross paths?
Actually, when I interviewed for the job. And it was a meeting that I am forever grateful.
Jan, what stood out to you about Faith when she interviewed? Because she obviously got it.
Well, you know, it was really interesting because it wasn't me making the decisions. Everything that I've done along the way from the beginning has been team-based. I used to say I was the captain of the team, and now the multidisciplinary aspects of the Family Justice Center, I call the FJC the captain of the team of collaboration. So I had people from our board of directors that sat with me on that. And Faith was a standout in a number of ways. We were looking for example, someone that very well connected and knowledgeable of our community. And Faith had an incredible, given her background of various activities, she was well connected in very meaningful ways. We also wanted someone that could be a good team player and a good team leader. And again, Faith brought back to the table, but one of our board members, it was interesting, of the people we interviewed, some were quite vivacious and very, grandiose and kind of bragged about themselves and just had a little bit of a very aggressive way about them. And one of my board members, who also was a survivor of family violence, said, you know, she has a quiet way about her, a calming way about her. She's going to be perfect for this job. And so, you know, Faith just had all the right ingredients, and she and her team have just done a wonderful job. So proud of them.
Yeah. Well, Faith, how do victims and survivors, how do they find you and the services?
We get referrals from a number of places. First of all, we're located right across the street from the family courthouse. So we get a lot of people coming across the street seeking our services. Law enforcement brings a lot of people or refers a lot of people. Our community partners do the same. Word of mouth is another way. We've put out some publications. Myriad ways.
Mm. When I was looking at your website, when describing the services that are offered, I mean, the website, the nonprofit emphasizes that this means victims will only need to tell their story one time, and one is in cap locks. Why is this crucial?
It is so important because when somebody has been through a traumatic experience, to retell that story over and over again just brings that trauma back up to the surface. And so the way that we have created the center and offer our services, the victim survivor only comes in and only tells that story one time. And with that person's permission, then we share it with the others who might be able to help. Full transparency, they may need to repeat it again when they meet with the attorney if they're asking for a restraining order petition. But otherwise, that's the reason. It's out of respect, it's out of care, it's out of compassion, and it's out of understanding that we try and limit the trauma as much as possible.
Jan, I mean, as a prosecutor, how has this historically been a problem, you know, having someone have to retell, you know, a traumatic incident over and over?
Oh, as prosecutors, we often said that really this re-victimized the victim to have to. Because part of it is not just retelling the story, but it takes a victim You just don't go in and start telling someone something of such deep feeling and such deep impact for you. There's a need for relationship. And there's also a need to be not told what to do, but given encouragement, advice, support, and an array of options. So there's a whole host of reasons why it's so important for a victim to feel trust, to feel like they're heard and their story remembered. And it also builds relationships, to be honest with you, with the partners that are providing services to the victims. We want her to feel like she is the most important and meeting her needs and helping her survive and take control of her life is so important. And when that happens, really, that leads to successful outcomes, whether it's a conviction in a case, whether it's being able to reach a point where you can actually leave that relationship. Unfortunately, so many, and here I'm talking about domestic violence, so many domestic violence victims, it's very hard to leave a relationship. And so you're always worried about criticism and those kinds of things. And again, telling your story to someone who you build trust with, being able to come back as often as you need to and talk to that same person, all these things are important for the success of that victim who we want to turn into a survivor.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're learning about the Sacramento Regional Family Justice Center and how the nonprofit is expanding to reach the needs of today. So, Faith, when it comes to growing and expanding, you have grown considerably in the last 7 years.
We have, and we're so appreciative of all the support that we've gotten in order to do that. When we first started, we had some case managers and some attorneys who could work on the restraining orders. But what we've done through the years is identify barriers, again, to get somebody from trauma and danger to safety and hope. And then we've tried to break down those barriers. And so we've added programs such as child and family therapy, because the children are often the victims as well as the parent who's in this domestic violence situation. We've added a trauma therapist. We've added a program, Housing First program for domestic violence victims, because so many of the people who are on the streets, who are unhoused, are there, especially the women, due to domestic violence. So that's a huge need. Human trafficking is another one. We have a robust program now for human trafficking. We added vehicles so that everybody didn't have to come to us. We would go to where they were if that was a barrier. So we continue to try and expand to meet all the needs that present themselves to us. And we're so grateful, again, for the support that's allowed us to do that.
Because what you're talking about often happens in private, you know, there was a concern during the pandemic when all of us were staying at home that it was very difficult to know if things were happening or to even, you know, report, because you couldn't really witness anything because everyone was staying away from each other. You know, what have been the consequences of the last couple years on the people and really the scale of people that you're helping right now?
So I want to say, first of all, because I'm so proud of our staff, when COVID hit and there was the edict for all of us to stay home unless we were an essential service, I called our staff together and I said, we are an essential service. This is going to get far worse than what we can imagine right now. And so if you need to stay home for whatever reason, your own family, your own health, your parents, whatever, you can do that. Your job will be here when you get back. 100% of them agreed to stay on. So we stayed open throughout the pandemic, and thank God we did, because the numbers just skyrocketed. Elder abuse, that was so hard to see, because so many were being victimized by their own children who had substance abuse or greed is one thing, or mental health was a huge one. So it exploded, and actually, to tell you the truth, we haven't seen much of a downturn since COVID has eased. So it does happen in private. It is often a shame-filled experience. People don't want to let their families know what's happening. But I think as the word gets out and there's help available, people are beginning to, or continuing now to come forward, knowing that there's a way out.
If you're someone who's just becoming aware that a loved one might be going through some type of abuse, whether it's elder abuse, the variety of trauma that you serve, How do you recommend they broach the topic with someone they love and introduce them to a place like the Sacramento Regional Family Justice Center? Because it can be a very sensitive topic to approach.
Correct. It is. And one of the ways that we've done this is just to say, you know, if you know anybody who needs these services, knowing that you're talking to the person themselves, but just to say, if you ever come across somebody who might need these services, there's the FJC. It's open Monday through Friday, walk-in services. Everything they offer is free. There's help available. So let your friend know.
Do you have any idea how many people you help on a given year or a month, or just to see, to get an idea of how it's grown?
Since we started, we have had, I think it's over 20,000 visits. That's amazing. And one of the things that we are encouraging is that people come and then they come back for follow-up services, because the more services they receive, the less likely that they'll return to the abusive situation. So on any given day, we have between, 20 to 50 people come in, just come through our doors. Mm. That's astounding to me, even today.
Yeah, Jan, you started with an idea. You were seeing this model in other places and you wanted to bring it to Sacramento. And with collaboration and other people and teamwork, it became a reality. When you see the nonprofit now and how it's grown in the last 7 years, how does it make you feel?
Well, first of all, quite proud. But I get blown away constantly because there's always a new program or a new opportunity that Faith and her team find that allow more services to be brought to the community and to all ages. Faith, you may have mentioned it, but even camps for children who have witnessed or been in an environment of violence. It just blows me away. I mean, I'm so proud. And actually COVID, the one thing I think that also should be said about the FGC during COVID is that they really were the program in the community that stayed open, the only one, I believe, or one of a handful that actually never closed their doors. But what that also allowed, the good news on that, is that all the referrals were coming into the Family Justice Center. And so it became much better known and the go-to place. And so what I've really seen is Family Justice Center, while we kind of called ourselves the captain of the collaboration, they truly are the captain now because of the leadership and all the resources and connections they made, especially through COVID. And it's a model now in its own right that people visit often and come and look at that for communities that are looking to start their own Family Justice Center. So I couldn't be prouder.
Yeah, Faith, I would imagine you consistently have, success stories that just keeps the momentum going and growing.
We do. And thank you, Jan, for mentioning Camp Hope, because I left that out. But as I was leaving to come here this morning, we were sending 20 kids off to camp. It was such a great sight to see. So they're going to spend a week up in Truckee. They're going to go kayaking and hiking and rappelling and rock climbing, rappelling, etc. So we're so proud of the program for the kids. And we do. We have so many success stories. And we have some that are heartbreaking. We can't make people leave. What we know is people don't necessarily stop loving the person they got together with in the first place. They just want the violence to stop. So sometimes it takes them coming back 2, 3, 4 times. But we're there and we tell them, no judgment. We're going to be here for you. So come back.
Yeah, that compassion mm-hmm. is invaluable.
Mm-hmm.
Faith and Jan, thank you for the conversation. It was wonderful.
So appreciate you having us. We're always grateful for the opportunity to tell people about the Family Justice Center.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Faith Whitmore is the CEO of the Sacramento Regional Family Justice Center, and Jan Scully is a former Sacramento County District Attorney. We have more information about the Sacramento Regional Family Justice Center, including how you can get involved and a fundraiser coming up in September. That is all on our Insight page. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.